morning. Welcome to Exchange. It's great to be here, and I hope you appreciate I'm wearing something slightly Christmassy this morning. A bit disappointed with Andrew, but I'm sure for next week he's just, I think he's holding it all back. He's going to go all out next week. You're going to be dazzled by the Christmas jumper. I wanted to start this morning by asking you a question. Do you feel like you're living your best life? You know, it's this term that I've been struck by recently. I've been hearing it all over the place, particularly with the kids when they're doing something fun. It was like Sophie was running around in the dog park, and you know, everyone should know that Sophie's obsessed with dogs, and she was surrounded by every kind of dog. And you know, you kind of say, oh, there's Sophie, she's living her best life. And for Hope, it would be if she's curled up with a book by the fire. She's our wee bookworm, our wee cozy one. And that's just her living her best life. And for Ben, we spend every weekend trailing all around Northern Ireland with his drone just to get some amazing shots so that he can put his footage up. And that's Ben living his best life. And I just love the way when you hear that term, it's always about somebody really enjoying themselves. Maybe there's somebody, they're doing something that they love, and it just captures, you know, that sense of when you're just happy, you're content, you know, people are happy with where they're at. But you know, just as I was hearing it, I was starting to ponder it, and I was thinking, you know, do I want to live my best life, or do I want to live God's best life for me? And you might actually think, well, sure, that's the same thing. If we're having fun and enjoying ourselves, that must be what the Lord wants. But I believe that the Lord has so much for us that we can often limit what he wants to do in and through us by thinking too small. And we can get carried away with our plans when he is saying, but I have so much more for you to experience, for you to enjoy, so much of my love that I want you to encounter, my goodness, my faithfulness. And sometimes by thinking small and making our own plans, we actually sometimes at times stifle what the Lord really wants to do. Now, it's probably strange for you to hear me say these words. I think Andrew is probably like adjusting the volume at the minute, wondering like, what is she saying? Because actually, I would consider myself to be a planner. And he's laughing now. I like to know on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, even on a monthly basis, what my schedule looks like. I love to take time and sketch out what I'm going to be doing and when I'm going to be doing it. Even if it's not down on paper, I've always got a mental note of what's coming next. And just so that I know I can accomplish everything, I like to be all over the details, making sure I'm well prepared so I know everything that I need to do in advance, just so I make sure I've got adequate time to do it. This is kind of the way that I work. And for some of you, you might think that is horrific. I mean, seriously, planning out your life. Loads of people I know love to be spontaneous and just take each day as it comes and go with the flow. And it's not that either one of these is right or wrong. It's just different. And I kind of love the fact that God has made us all unique like that. But however, I found when it comes to my walk with the Lord, you know, it's often not quite the way that I expect it to be. And it often doesn't follow my carefully weighed plans. So I was kind of asking myself, you know, why is that? Because years ago when I was in my 20s and kind of approaching my 30s and even my 40s, I would have, you know, always liked to think, what will I be doing at that stage? But, you know, the more I've journeyed with the Lord, I've learned to pay less attention to setting goals and objectives and actually to pay much more attention to just drawing close to his heart. And I've realized there are two things that I need to know concerning my future. You know, in the first one, tells us in Hebrews 13:5, the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. This morning, one thing you need to be absolutely certain of, to just stay in this truth, that God will never leave you or forsake you. And the Lord promises hope and a future. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So my question to you this morning is, are you prepared to allow God to interrupt your plans? I mean, have you sketched out your life, you know, like I used to do and sometimes I still find myself doing, and then you just kind of go and say, look, this is the way I want it to be, so, you know, this is my best made plans, would you just come along and bless them? Or are you coming to him on a daily basis and saying, do you know what, Lord, it's your way? You know, are you prepared with your dream, take all those dreams that you have, the hopes and desires and all the things that even the Lord's shown you in your life, and to just to lay them down? Can you say to the Lord, like I keep trying to bring myself to say, do you know what, Lord, I trust you. You created me. You know me better than I actually know myself. And Lord, I want to follow you above anything else. Now, it's not that I'm saying that, you know, we shouldn't dream big and pursue those godly desires that he's put within us. I'm saying, do we hold it all lightly? You know, is communion with the Lord more important to you than chasing after accomplishments? Because the Lord wants us to partner with him and advance his kingdom, but he calls us to do that from this place of intimacy and dependence on him. So how do we know if we're following the Lord or if we're just going off on one of our own plans? You know, I believe the Lord often doesn't like things or doesn't let things go quite as smoothly because he wants to get our attention. And sometimes, you know, when we are blessed, we can forget that he's actually the source of the blessing. And we can start to think that it's our own ability that's got us there and not actually the Lord's hand on us. He wants to keep us in that place where we need to trust, where we can't know all the answers, where life sometimes gets a little bit unpredictable. I know I've had many times when things have appeared to make absolutely no sense at all. Sometimes I think like I'm going in completely the wrong direction or even going backwards or further away from the plans I believe that God's put in my heart. But this is where I need to dig deep and remember those two things that I said at the start. The Lord would never leave me and he will always lead me towards hope and a future. I loved at the beginning of the year when we talked about the spiral staircase that Pastor Prince had mentioned, you know, when it talks about in the temple. You might not know what's up ahead. It might at times feel like you're going backwards, just like when you go around a spiral staircase, it can almost feel like you're going around and around in circles. But before you know it, you've gone to higher ground much quicker than you could have ever imagined. And that's the Lord's heart for us, to lead us further and higher into his purposes. But we have to be prepared to walk step by step, trusting even though we can't see what's up ahead, being led by the promise that he is good. And I've had to, you know, ask myself the question sometimes, you know, Penny, why is it that you like to make all these plans? And if I'm really honest, the answer is because I do like to be in control. You know, when we plan for the future, we have that sense of control over what's coming up ahead. So why does the Lord shake up these plans? You know, it's not because he wants to make life difficult for us. In fact, it's the opposite. He wants to unburden us. He wants to take the responsibility off our shoulders because actually we weren't ever designed to carry it. If you think about the verses in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, I just love these verses where it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, for you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's that picture of the young ox being yoked to the older one. The young ox walks by the side of the older one. He's led, he follows, but the weight isn't on his shoulders. If you think about it, we can't control our destiny anyway. We're living in a fallen world and we have an adversary who's the enemy. There are too many odds stacked against us for us to make it in this life on our own. If you look at this year, like how many millions of hours of the best made plans have gone to waste? All of us have known what it's been like to have to lay down what we've hoped for, what we'd planned for, what we thought we would be doing, and we've had to adjust to a new way of living. For all of us, our plans were interrupted. And for some people, that lack of autonomy over their lives and how they're going to spend the days, that's felt pretty overwhelming. And I appreciate that. You know, when I'm saying this, it's not easy. It hasn't been easy for a lot of us just to not know, to be living in that uncertainty and to not be sure of what each week's going to look like, let alone, you know, each day or each month, whatever. But God is there in the middle of it. I know when I've been talking, I know there's a lot of people looking forward to a new year. Lots of people are wanting to leave this year behind them, and they're looking for the external circumstances to change. For many people I've talked to, you know, their hope is in a vaccine or the economic turnaround, getting the shops reopened, getting to spend time with friends and family. I'm not saying that any of this is wrong to want to see these things change, but we can't believe that our happiness is going to be based on these external factors. It's essential right now that we know where our foundations are, because our hope today is based on Jesus and his word. And I've loved looking at all the I Am statements in the John series, and they help to steer me when I feel myself drifting off course. Because Jesus revealed himself as the good shepherd for a reason. It's his role to lead us and guide us. It's his role to protect us. It's his role to help us to find green pasture, to show us when to sit and to find rest. He's going to bring us that refreshing in our lives if we listen to his voice and follow where he's leading. We weren't designed to control our destiny. He was, he is right now, and he's always going to be. So you might ask yourselves, why am I talking about best made plans at this time of year when it really should be the Advent season where we're talking about shepherds and angels and the coming of the King of all kings? Well, that is exactly where I am leading, because I want you to consider today two people whose lives were thrown totally upside down. Two people who were going about their everyday, serving God, being faithful, and yet they found that living their best life was not exactly lining up with what God had mapped out for them. If you haven't already guessed, I'm talking about Mary and Joseph. As you know, we kind of always, when we think about Mary and Joseph, we go back to our, you know, image of them in Sunday school when we were all dressed up with the tea towels on our heads, everything. But we need to really think about this in the real life scenario that it was. As you know, they were a young couple. They were engaged to be married. Now, in order for us to really understand the significance of the story, we have to have more of an appreciation of the Jewish culture of that day. Because our view of engagement is very different from what they would have experienced in Bible times. You know, for most of us, we're probably thinking of, you know, people getting engaged and the romantic meal and the man on the bended knee, you know, and they're maybe out on the beautiful sunset, you know, walk along the beach, and he's got the ring in his hand, he's ready to pop the big question, and it's all very like lovey-dovey, airy-fairy, oh, beautiful. But in Bible times, an engagement was much more of a formal arrangement. It was normally actually arranged by the parents, and it would involve a contract in which the groom's parents would have, you know, they'd pay a bride price. And this contract was binding. The couple would have been considered to be married, even though the ceremony and the consummation hadn't actually taken place. So it was into this world that, you know, in this season of Mary's life, that the angel Gabriel steps in to tell her that she's going to have a son, that he would be the Son of God. So imagine being in Mary's shoes for one moment. She would have been going through her days considering her upcoming marriage, and no doubt she would have been imagining what life would look like in the future. You know, having a family with Joseph, what their children would have looked like, what they would have called them. And suddenly everything she's pictured is turned upside down. Not only are these new plans not at all what she would have imagined, but they could actually endanger her life. Because Mary's pregnancy before the consummation of her marriage, that would have been evidence of unfaithfulness. And according to Jewish law, she could have been brought before the elders and stoned to death. Even if Joseph didn't want to go to these lengths, the engagement could not just be undone. It would have needed to have been terminated by an official divorce decree. This would have brought scorn, shame and humiliation, not just on Mary, but her entire family. So this news that Mary received had huge implications for her. It had the potential to ruin her life. Her future hopes, her dreams of a loving family unit would be all slipping away if she'd approached this news from an earthly perspective. Yet this was not Mary's response to the angel's message. And every time I read her words, I find them so inspirational and so uplifting. For me, they show us that incredible level of trust and confidence that Mary had in the goodness of God. And if we allow ourselves to ponder on her response, we will find help for those moments where we have doubts and we have questions. So let's go to Luke chapter 1 and read together as Mary encounters Gabriel and receives this incredible message. It says, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And we read that in Luke 1, 28 to 38. Now, even though Mary's first response is to ask how, she doesn't ask why. She chooses to trust in the wisdom of the Lord, even though this plan would appear not to make sense and could cause her some serious difficulties up ahead. Mary doesn't allow the thoughts of her own discomfort
or lack of clarity and the reason behind this to stop her from receiving this incredible blessing from the Lord.
She takes the angel at his word. She is highly favored. The Lord has chosen her. There is a special assignment which the Lord is asking her to partner with him in. She's to bring forth a son, the Messiah, the one they've all been waiting for. Now Mary steps back and allows herself to see that her life is part of a much bigger plan. It's no longer about her and Joseph and a little town in Galilee. She's suddenly been placed center stage into events that were planned before the foundation of the earth. You see, so often in our lives we see our immediate needs, we plan for what's ahead. For most of us, we're looking forward to a better 2021. But when the Lord makes plans, they affect the generations. You know, even the Jews at that time, they were small-minded in their thoughts around the Messiah coming. They were focusing on their own deliverance. They were expecting a savior to step into the world, turn around the political landscape, and bring, you know, freedom from Roman oppression. In their minds, the Messiah was going to come and overthrow the earthly powers. They were waiting for this warrior king to come and fight their battles and make Israel great again. They didn't realize that God's rescue plan was much bigger than their nation at that specific time in history. God wasn't just concerned with the salvation of his chosen people. God was rescuing the whole world for eternity. He was coming to one place and time in history. He wasn't just doing that. He was changing history forever. So often our view of what the Lord is doing is so small, our plans will actually affect the greater work that God is wanting to weave us into. You know, Mary, when she was confronted with a message from the angel, she got a bigger vision for her life. She chose to trust and believe the word that was spoken to her. She surrendered to the Lord's will despite the personal cost, the rejection, the scorn, and the shame. She chose to trust, to obey, and to follow. So what was Mary's hope based on? Let's read the angel's message again. He said he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, when you think about it, Mary would have known the scriptures. She would have known the promises spoken about the Messiah. So these words wouldn't have been news to her in that sense, because all the Jews were eagerly anticipating their Savior. We read in 2 Samuel 7, where it says, "I will set upon your seed after you, who will come from you, from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." Mary, when she heard the truth, she chose to trust in it. This is such a challenge and an inspiration for me at the same time. The Lord wants us to trust in his word, even when it appears to be taking us away from where we feel like we should be going. When things come out of nowhere, when things take a different turn, when things don't always seem to be making sense, don't panic. Don't freak out. Don't think the Lord's forgotten you. Hold on to his promises. Remember, like the angels said, nothing is impossible for God. We can't look at what's in front of us with our carnal eyes. You see, biblical hope is different from worldly hope. And that is why it's important in this season more than ever, we respond to those around us who don't know the Lord and who are looking for hope and wondering where they can find it. Our hope can't be based on our feelings or just the desires that we have for something to happen. That's worldly hope. Biblical hope is based on a confident expectation of what God has promised. It's not looking for something in the future to happen. It's actually moving towards what has already been promised and manifest in the spiritual realm. And it's calling that into the present reality. Biblical hope's not wishing for something. It's based on a certainty that what we are believing for has already been provided for at the cross. Now we're calling forth heavenly blessings into our lives. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. So how can we have confidence and boldness? Because it's all because of the grace of God in our lives. We receive because of him. It's through his grace, his undeserved and unmerited favor. So look again at the angel and how he spoke to Mary. He said, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women." Mary was highly favored. That's not because of her performance or obedience. There's nothing that tells us anything about Mary until we meet her at this point. So we can't think, oh, it must have been that she was just a specially good person. And the angel spoke these words over Mary before she'd even responded to what he'd said to her. You know, the Lord already saw her as favored. It was because of his goodness. He just chose to lavish his love and his blessings on Mary. Her part was to receive his word. What's more, the Lord was calling forth what he saw in Mary and how she was going to be known throughout the earth for the rest of history as blessed because of this special role the Lord had given her. The angel announced how the Lord saw her and how she'd be regarded by the future generations. This is how the Lord deals with us today, how he wants us to relate to all the people around us. Too often we look at each other according to the flesh. We call out all our shortcomings, the areas where we're messing it up. You know, we look at our failings and we think that this is going to determine whether the Lord can use us or not or what he can accomplish in our lives. But today, when God's looking at you, he sees you as righteous. He sees you as his child. Your imperfections, they've been covered by the blood of Jesus. Today, each one of us are positioned in Christ and we qualify to receive every spiritual blessing. We can believe that Jesus will provide for us, protect us, prosper us, sustain us. He will give us peace and life in all its fullness. Today, like Mary, we can accept those words that we are highly favored. That these words, that's truth statements, that we can expect to see God's goodness pursuing us, his blessings chasing us down, because as a loving father, he wants to lavish his love on us. Mary trusted in the words the Lord spoke to her because they were based on the promises that she'd learned in the scriptures and the truth that she chose to believe in about who the Messiah would be and how he would come and bring her people into freedom. She came into agreement with what God said about her identity, about the plans that he had set out for her life. She didn't respond with unbelief. She didn't take time to kind of consider, right, well, what if, you know, this happens and what if that happens, like I often find myself doing. Instead, she chose to trust and accept this truth. And I love the words that she said. "Let it be to me according to your word." She just took the truth, accepted it, and trusted it. Now, you might be thinking, oh, that's all right for Mary. You know, if an angel stepped into my room and gave me that kind of message, then I wouldn't doubt either. But if we read back a little bit in the chapter, we see that wasn't the case for somebody else. Zechariah, he too was approached by the angel Gabriel while he was serving in the temple. He receives a similar message about a child, and yet we read that he is struck dumb because of his unbelief. And I was actually looking at these two passages together and examining, you know, Mary and Zacharias, and they both ask how, but somehow Mary doesn't get the same treatment as Zacharias does. And I was thinking, you know, actually it's only the Lord knows what's going on in our hearts. When I was thinking about it, I thought, well, personally, I think when Mary asks how, she's asking for more information. She doesn't kind of understand how it's all going to happen. But with Zechariah, I have the feeling that when he was asking, how's this going to be? It was more like him saying, seriously, how's this going to work? You know, have you seen how old I am? Have you seen how old my wife is? Nothing's changed for years. I think he was coming more with the obstacles and the impossibilities. His eyes at that point were totally in the natural. They were looking at all the limitations. He couldn't see from this heavenly perspective. And as I've thought about this, I've realized how much at times I can thwart what God's trying to do in my life by looking at things with logic or with reasoning. I look at things according to my past experience and I allow it to shape what I think the future's going to look like. I look to my mistakes, I look at my disappointments, and there's times I let them determine what I think I'm going to step into in the future. So many of us can limit the Lord in these ways. And I believe that as I was writing this, I felt the Lord reminded me of this verse. And I believe this is for somebody this morning. The Lord says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Lord's not tied up with your mess and your failings. His plans are so much bigger than we can imagine. He's not concerned with yesterday. You're a new creation in Christ. Every day, he's leading you into a greater revelation of what that means. He wants to peel back all those layers of unbelief in all of us. The condemnation that we feel at times, the fear of not being good enough, the fear of having missed it. He wants to take you, he wants you to take him at his word, just to step into what he's calling you to. So are you going to be like Zacchaeus and let your eyes slip to all the reasons why it won't work? Or will you be like Mary, who chose to walk by faith and not by sight? Now, when we move past this point in Mary's life, we realize this journey she was on was not at all smooth sailing. There were loads of hurdles, with lots of difficult times she had to navigate. I mean, imagine being a fly on the wall when she was breaking the news to Joseph. Sure, that would have been an interesting conversation, and dealing with his initial disbelief. And, you know, that was not an easy path to walk. We see in Joseph's response his concern for their social standing, the disgrace the news would bring. If he'd got caught up in all of this, you know, and if he hadn't listened to the Lord, he could have missed out on the blessing of seeing the Son of God grow up before his very eyes. It's a trap, you know, we can all fall into. We can all become so preoccupied with self, with what we believe our best life should look like. We can actually shortchange ourselves from experiencing the very best life that God is wanting to lead us into. So take a moment and think today about the opportunities the Lord's presenting to you. He could be prompting you to pick up the phone and encourage someone. And you could think of all the reasons why maybe they're not going to want to speak to you or it's not the right time. Or he could be asking you to step out and share his message of grace to someone at work or in your family, and yet you allow that fear of rejection or embarrassment to hold you back. Whenever our eyes are looking at ourselves, we're thwarting the life of God flowing through us. Because I said earlier, we're not supposed to try and take care of ourselves. That's the Lord's job. He will take care of us so that we can be free to love and experience the joy of seeing the Son glorified. I love how the Lord is always in the detail and how he shows Mary that he will take care of all the issues, like even speaking to Joseph in a dream. That's such a lesson for us, isn't it? There's been so many times I've had situations that I've been concerned about and, you know, thinking, how could I explain this to someone and how are they going to react to this circumstance and what's going to be the outcome? But I see time and time again, the more I put those things into the Lord's hands and trust him to speak into the situation, the more I find he's gone before me, he's prepared the way. It's as if we're on this continual journey of just learning to let go and let God do his work. When you think of the road ahead for Mary and Joseph, we know that they're continually going to have to lay down their first choice, the way they think things should look, and follow the Lord. Certainly, giving birth in a stable, far from home, far from friends and family, would not be your first choice. Yet Mary and Joseph, in what appear to be such an uninviting setting, had the privilege of encountering shepherds and later kings who came to kneel at the feet of their baby king. If you continue on the journey, we see how they had to flee to Egypt to escape from Herod's attempt to find this king and kill him. Again, we see how God led them and protected them. So they, once more, they have to surrender their own plans of going home to show off their newborn baby, and they find themselves in a foreign land, establishing a home, raising a son. And as they made their way through each day, I believe those two promises that I talked about at the start must have kept them trusting and believing that the Lord would never leave them and that he had a hope and a future for them. And I want to finish today by taking a look at some of the words that Mary says. We find in Luke 1. It's been described as Mary's song, and I love the praise, the adoration we find in the words. She expresses just the pure joy and delight in the Lord. She recognizes his mercy, his love, his goodness in her life. Just reading it has brought life to me as I've thought about it. I thought about the Lord's hand on my own life, his promises to me, the faithfulness that I can rely on to lead me into my future. So I want to take a moment and read it. I want you to be blessed. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but the rich has sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary recognizes the God of creation is mindful of her. She was going through a daily life. He chose her. He set her apart. Do you know this is how the Lord responds to you today? He's mindful of you. He chooses you. He sets you apart to fulfill his purposes. Mary says he extended incredible mercy to us. You know, none of us get what we deserve. And through the cross, we can stand today able to receive his favor and his blessings because Jesus has declared us righteous. If you're hungry to see things turn around in your life, then look to Jesus. Look to his word. He tells us he has filled the hungry with good things. If you're worried today about people coming up against you, stand strong today and trust in the Lord's deliverance. For reminded that, you know, he's brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. Jesus has an incredible plan for your life. His plan doesn't just look into 2020. He sees the beginning from the end. He sees the generations. His best life for you is much wider, higher, and deeper than you can imagine. When we started this church, you know, we had three things in our minds about our purpose. We would preach the words of grace of unmerited favor to people who were trying to earn God's approval. We were going to see worship that would reach into the hearts of men and women and give them songs of hope and deliverance. And we were going to use all the forms of media that we knew of to reach just not just these shows, but beyond, to see the gospel of grace proclaimed where there was no light. And this has been an incredible journey for us. There have been many ups and many downs. There have been many times we've wanted to give up. We've felt discouraged at times. Sometimes you think you've got it wrong, that you're not good enough. You battle fears of failure. But, you know, at times it's been tough. But those two things have kept us going. And, you know, we've learned to die to the flesh. You know, Andrew's probably preached, you know, so many times he wouldn't never, you know, mind if he didn't preach again. It's that sense of, Lord, you know, I can lay all of this down. I can hold it all lightly. And then amongst all of us, the Lord's brought us so much closer to him. And only he can build his church. But this one thing that was really encouraging for us this week, we were approached about our messages being used to be broadcast in other nations across the world. And it just reminded me again about those promises at the very start. You know, the Lord knows your dreams. So hold them lightly. Hold your version of them lightly. But stay close to the Lord. Allow him to shape you. And trust that even when you think things are not moving fast enough, or even are they going in the right direction, the Good Shepherd, he's not going to let you stumble or fall. He is going to be the light in your path. He's going to show you the way. He will bring you into true life. When you stay close to Jesus, you will be living your best life.